Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
We're back for another episode of Hunt the Truth. We have two more after this one. Two more until E3, until the next whatever big info dump that we get other than Hunt the Truth. But yes, we're almost to the end. We've come so far. It's been getting more and more intense every single week. I don't know how they managed to do it every single week.
It's a genuine mystery.
I know. It's like you would expect there's a climax, and then there's it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and all that. That could be taken very badly. Anyways.
It should be.
The special guest with us tonight is we're welcoming back Toa Freak, a.k.a. Halo Cannon. Welcome back, sir.
And I am so glad to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Yes, and of course, Godzilla T is in the house. Also,
yay.
Our resident lore person. So we got the full crew in the house tonight to talk about Hunt the Truth, and this one is no exception. Although, I will say, it has kind of slowed down a little bit, because we got the whole climax thing, which I think last episode was pretty much the climax to this story, and now we have the downslope, but we still have quite a few things going on in the mix of this Hunt the Truth podcast. Especially near the very end of this, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But, Halo Cannon, welcome back. It's good to have you back.
And it is great to be back.
If plans pan out, we're going to have you on for the next two as well, hopefully, to finally wrap this up.
Currently, my schedule is definitely open for that. So, hopefully my job doesn't dump a whole lot of work on me, which they shouldn't. But yeah.
Yes. So. We should tell them E3 is coming up, so definitely don't dump you work that week.
Oh, luckily I have most of that week requested off, so.
Good.
Yeah.
I will be off that week because I will be there.
Wish I did.
Very nice.
And wish I was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody probably does.
If anybody would like to sponsor me to E3, my address is... Oh, wait a minute. I better not put that on the podcast.
might want to be careful on where you put that. Moving into this podcast, we have the downfall of Oni, or at least what we assume is the downfall of Oni from the last podcast, and lots of things happening now. Of course, Ben has basically gone into hiding at this point. He's afraid for his life. He's running as dark as he can. He has all of his lights off. He's running his monitors dim. He's like freaking out and probably going crazy too because he's all by himself. And he tells us that he just sits night after night in lonely dark just watching his newsfeed to see what happens or if he can get any glimpse of what happened after his
big
spill.
Yeah.
This big fireball of Oni accusations and basically ending his career. Basically just flushing his career down the toilet.
Yeah. If he's lucky, it'll just be his career.
Yeah, and not his life. Because
Oni. Because Oni.
Exactly. Because Oni. Hashtag blame Oni.
No, Oni wouldn't do anything like that, would they?
No. They're totally cool with all their secrets being exposed in front of powerful senators. Presumably powerful senators, I should say.
Yeah. But in that case, we heard from the last episode that he never heard from Mishak again, which is so sad.
Yeah.
No more Mishak.
I know. That's like, you also know when it's a good series, because I said it was before, it's a good series when you actually see something that you didn't accurately predict, but it's also a good series when you get attached to a character, and when the character actually leaves, and we don't know he's dead yet.
But it seems to definitely be pointing that way.
Right.
Especially with only two episodes left after this.
Uh-huh. But when you can get emotionally attached to a secondary character like that, it goes to show they're doing something right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely doing something right.
This whole Hunt the Truth thing has been outstanding. At first, I was a little skeptical because it was going a little slow. And, of course, that was the build up to everything that was going on. They needed to backfill everybody with everything that people probably knew about the franchise already that had read the books and didn't really know otherwise. And just Ben's journey through finding that out as well. So, at the beginning, I think for all of us here, it was a little slow, but as it got on, after episode 5 and 6, when he started releasing the podcast, it started to get really juicy and really interesting, and now it's one of those things that it's one of the greater stories in the Halo lore verse for the most part.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's definitely getting up there for me. It's not quite there, but because there's a lot of really good stories, but this one is like, it's hard to say now because I loved I Love Bees. It's hard to say like which one was better in terms of, so, you know, at this point for me, I Love Bees or Hunt the Truth.
I need to go listen to Hunt or I Love Bees because I still haven't done that yet. Lair, don't yell at me.
It's really good. It's really well acted, but
I can't say that I've ever listened to it either. So
I'd recommend listening to it. The one thing that Hunt the Truth has over it is that Hunt the Truth is 100% canon, whereas I Love Bees is dubious, unfortunately.
Right.
But yeah.
The only caveat to me liking Hunt the Truth so much is I feel they could have acted certain parts of Ben's character out a little bit better. Like the whole shyness aspect of it seems a little fake to me. Like whenever he was reacting to Ray coming in a little bit early on, or whenever Petra broke down his door and he started kind of like cowering a little bit, it's just some of those parts seem a little not quite his character in a sense. If that, I don't know, that might not just make any sense whatsoever.
I get what you're saying. I don't agree, but I get what you're saying. But it's
like this very
I just have this image, like, it's, at least with Petra, it's like, you basically got this woman who's very, very confident, and then later on, practically holding a gun to your head. I don't know.
Well, no, I know
you mean, like, initially, but...
Like, the whole cowering from her, yeah, that makes sense, but the...
The way it sounded,
The rambling that he goes through sometimes, and the timidness in certain situations just seems... I guess it just seems odd to me, but that's just me. Other than that, though, characters in here are fan-frickin-tastic.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Absolutely.
And I hope we get to see some kind of transition into Halo 5 with them, too.
I think when you look at the actors and actresses attached to them, like Ben, I should say, not Ben, but his actor, I'm trying to remember right now, Keegan-Michael Key. Yeah, he looks a lot like, you know, Ben Giroux from Second Sunrise over New Mombasa. And I don't remember the actress's name, but you know, the chick from Avengers. I can't remember the actress's name. Kobe Smulders, I think it is. She looks a lot like Petra did in the comics, terribly drawn as she was in those comics. But you know, she still has a very strong resemblance to that. So I would not be surprised to find out that these characters are going to show up.
I hope so, because those are some well-defined characters. Yeah, horrible English. Well-defined characters that I think could be very useful in the Halo 5 campaign. Setting up that story and whatever we come through with maybe terminals or second stories or anything leading up to that point, I think it would be cool to have. Heck, maybe even the Halo TV series.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I may go on a tangent here for a second because this got brought up 2 days ago that he said that one of my friends came up with the idea of them continuing the Hunt the Truth thing as the TV series, and that's how it leads into Halo 5. I don't like it was like he went into a lot of detail. I don't remember it because it was very spastic and very quick, but the way he was talking was that's how like certain plots will get into the Halo 5 Guardians, which I found interesting. Like, it'd be interesting to see if they could do something like that, but it didn't make any sense because I think it would be after launch of Halo 5 when the TV series would come out.
Yeah. Last I heard that it was supposed to be beforehand, but not by much. So,
yeah.
You know, that was, I think, now like a year or two ago when they last talked about it. So it's really hard to say what the current plan for that is going to be. Hopefully we'll hear about something like that in the next couple weeks.
I hope so, because that's something, at least for E3 or San Diego Comic-Con, I know there's supposed to be some big announcements at San Diego Comic-Con that we should get. And with the TV show being this close and not having heard about it in a while, I'm thinking there has to be something they're going to say soon.
Yeah.
I imagine they'll probably say, at least address it at E3. They may not go into, you know, super detail with it, you know, basically say, you know, we have this big reveal at Comic-Con or something like that, or you'll get more information at Comic-Con. So I'm really looking forward to it. I want to know what this TV show is about.
Yeah, right.
Other than Halo.
Yeah.
Right?
They need some specifics.
I've got an answer for you. It's going to be about Halo.
Is it other than that?
Oh, no,
it's going to be about the Halo universe.
There you go.
That's a whole second word, man.
A whole second word. I'm glad you clarified that.
I'm glad I could help.
It's going to take place in the universe, about the universe, for the universe. Universeception. Blah. Okay, that was dumb.
Oh, God. Oh Lord.
Oh, God. Admit, where's my inception button?
Yeah, exactly right. Getting back on the rails. Going back to Mishak holed up in his undisclosed location.
Ben Giroux.
Mishak. Did I say Mishak? I miss Mishak. Yeah. I miss Mishak. Okay, you know you miss Mishak.
I'm not gonna blame you for missing him, but that's what, but we talked about that.
Yeah. Anyways, Ben held up in his undisclosed location. He tells us that he's waiting for his contact to arrive. He's the only one that knows where he is, so he's holed up in his place for days. And he goes through saying that he knows the sounds of what the wind coming down the stairwell and everything else is, so he should be able to hear anyone that could possibly be coming if Oni finds out where he actually is, or if someone else happens to stumble across where he is. And in that case, he has this plan of, if he hears something, he's going to turn off his monitors, hide beneath the windowsill, count to 100, and then if he doesn't hear anything, go back to what he was doing, yada yada yada. One night, it's stormy, windy, thundering, and he can't hear anything. He says he's basically deaf, so he actually goes into his little hidey hole that he has under the floor and sleeps there for a night. And
you have to add in that's the best night's sleep he's had in weeks.
I was and just the first, about to and say the first that, time thank you.
And the first time he slept at night, I think in weeks it was, because he was sleeping during the day.
Yeah, he said days. I don't think he said weeks, because I don't think this is too long after.
Yeah. It would have been days, but yeah, it's like...
Right.
Yeah.
And after hiding there for the night, he does his little This Is Hunt the Truth, and we come back to some, I guess, news report of, and everyone get your pitchforks ready, freshman Senator Del Rio.
My God. That just get him out. Completely out of the blue, but so great to see him back. Because he was so underutilized.
No, it's not.
No, I don't know. It's really not.
Gone.
I don't know. I feel like his existence is finally justified, because I hated him in Halo 4, not like for what he did, but because he was a throwaway character. His only purpose was to kind of muck with the Chief's plan. You know, after that, they're just like, oh, we're gonna take him out of command now because reasons. You know, so
yeah,
Say what you will about him, I feel like his character is finally justified, and that's why I'm glad to see him back. Like, his existence
Yes, but still.
Yeah. I get why people feel that way, but I just have this really different way of looking at it, I suppose.
If I could run a river of expletives right now without having to believe it on the show, I would.
Yeah.
I vocalized my opinions on Twitter. How about, you can go find it if you're that inclined.
If you really want to know.
Exactly. Because, damn you, Del Rio.
Yeah, he can go.
Well, at least his attitude hasn't changed.
Yeah, exactly.
If anything, it's gotten worse.
Yeah. Somewhat justifiably, I think you have to admit. Somewhat.
Well, I take issue with one particular comment he said. And I don't know how deep you're going to get into this, Dust, but regarding the Spartans.
There are a lot of comments he said about it, so fire away.
Well, the fact that, you know, you would never catch a Spartan 4 doing this.
I did laugh at that. I mean, he is right in that a Spartan 4 has never shot up a peace conference.
True.
Well, actually, no, that would be wrong. I'm sorry. That's wrong. A Spartan 4 would never be caught shooting humans at a peace conference. Well, no, that's not right either. Shit. Or, pardon me. Crap. No, you know what? Yeah, he's 100% wrong. Vladimir Scruggs.
Yeah.
He killed Spartans at a peace conference with a battle, with a DM, or with a saw. And that's how you play Halo Clue.
That's why we have you on the show.
There we go.
There we go.
You know, that,
Make it happen, 343.
His whole speech just, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, but I mean, I just...
From an in-universe... Or, sorry, go ahead, Bio.
No, I was just going to say, like, that... Like, me hearing his voice was, like... It was... I listened to this about, like, 3 in the morning because I couldn't sleep. So I was, like, just, like... And, like, I woke up even more because I was getting so pissed. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, you were probably not asleep for the next hour after you heard that.
I'm tired. Let's listen to something that's going to piss me off. That'll work.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
Bad idea. Bad idea.
I mean, eventually you tucker yourself out. I mean, at least like from an in-universe perspective, it does make sense that Oni and the Spartan branch would want to keep those instances of traitorous Spartans under wraps as possible. So,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, if they can still hide the origins of the Spartan 2 program, I think they can hide, you know, that Scruggs went batshit insane, or bat crap insane.
you can say it, I'll just bleep it. That's actually not a bad one to bleep, but yeah, and for the most part, what we have of Del Rio, I mean, it makes sense that, yeah, he's going to be in there, and I think it's an appropriate role for him. It's just, I mean, for someone that knows what he's done, to put that in a fierce response, it's just like, ugh, I got so much hatred for you.
See, it depends. Like, for me, I felt he was justified in his actions in Halo 4 for the large part. And it feeds into what I hate about him just being a throwaway character. But that would be a huge discussion that would bring us way, that would get us way off topic.
That actually might be our topic tomorrow, believe it or not. Because I put a tweet out saying that Perengoski even knew that Del Rio was not going to be captain of Infinity for very long.
Yeah.
And she put him there with that intent in mind.
It wasn't her. It was Fleetcom. Because, like, yeah, Oni Fleet originally. Com. Yeah. Basically, Lord Hood put him there. So, if you.
Still, she knew that he was going to wash out.
Yeah. She knew. Tom Lasky was her candidate. So.
Mm-hmm. Which a little bit backfired on her because Lasky turned out to be a good guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm assuming we'll get to see some of him in Halo 5, or at least I hope we will.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
Yeah, I don't have any doubt that he wouldn't be in there at all. Like, he was kind of a huge part in Halo 4 in a way, like especially with Spartan Ops. Like, he was there, and he was in the campaign itself. Like, he was at the very tail end too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yep.
And for the most part, look at Spartan Ops, and I hope Spartan Ops somehow transitions into Halo 5 or the Halo TV series or whatnot. And it's kind of lived on through Halo Escalation in a sense, but bringing that story back into it, I think some of the later issues haven't really had Lasky featured in them as much, but I still think he's a pivotal character that's in the universe now as it is. And Halo 4 actually introduced a lot more branch offs of the main storyline to what happens. So with Chief now we have the UEG and Oni with this whole Hunt of Truth stuff, and we have Halsey with the Janus Key and what she's been doing with the Covenant, and then the Covenant trying to rebuild and all that stuff. So there's many facets to the Halo story right now that could really be branched off of and really be brought into the Halo game in a way, and 343 does not have an easy job on their hands, because this is going to be very tricky.
I wonder if they're going to use the TV show to polish off some of these stories.
I would not be surprised, especially for some of the stuff that might not directly impact what we see in Halo 5. Like, Oni will probably will, but some of the stuff with the UEG that we've been seeing lately, that might not be, because the UEG itself has gone largely undiscussed or within the games.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Oni at least is an established presence, so I can imagine a lot of that stuff being taken over to the Halo TV series.
Definitely, I think that's going to be one avenue that the TV show is great for, because if you look at a bunch of other TV shows, there's many times where the shows are going to be doing one-off pieces that don't follow the main storyline per se, but they still tie in with the universe.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect platform for it, really, without having to introduce it into the game.
Yeah. You know, I think it'd be a good place to...
It could basically be the Halo universe's own Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly.
though. Right. Hopefully with some stronger ties without getting into spoilers, but anyway.
Yeah,
exactly. There's just so much stuff they could actually cover with this.
Mm-hmm.
Possibilities are endless.
No, absolutely. It's going to be really interesting because we have so many Halo, like we have a lot of Halo content out as it is. I mean, we're going to have, I hope they do continue off Hunt the Truth. Like, I know we're getting Halo 5 campaign and whatever they're going to do with the show, but I really hope they do something to continue it after.
Well, it's been, if it's popular enough, I'm sure they would, though.
Yeah.
They haven't said anything new as far as I'm aware, so we'll have to see. The popularity of it would seem to indicate that if not an immediate continuation, they definitely might consider picking up something like it in the near future.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this was perfect, honestly. Like, it was like really, really good how they did this.
Couldn't agree more. Back to Dario.
Yeah.
He's talking about the Biko incident, the one where Chief allegedly shot up a peace talk and shot Sakebo. He goes, or at least the part that we start hearing is him talking about how the Spartan 2s are, fundamentally flawed, based on faded principles, governed by increasingly corroded minds, and that it's just a horrible program and all that stuff. But
nice way to cover up his hatred for the Master Chief.
Right.
Yeah.
And also placating to the emotions of the people that are watching.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But so, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's some deep-rooted hatred based on what we know in the Halo 4 campaign.
Which is actually, when you think about it, too, because Ben introduced it, it's like politicians use tragedies to, you know, promote their own agendas, but not Andrew Del Rio. And it's like, no, actually, he is. He's probably pushing the strongest agenda of any politician.
A just personal like, vendetta.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to use this opportunity to make sure the chief gets what's coming to him, in my opinion. Or, you know, speaking from Del Rio's point of view.
Right.
I really wish he'd get demoted and booted out. I really do. Like, let him do something stupid. I hate him. As a
That's
character,
extremely nice, what I'm thinking of.
I do not like him as a character. Like, I know that's his, like, character. Like, that's the guy he's playing as. Like, I get that, but...
Right.
Man.
He's a character that's designed to be hated.
Yeah,
I like him as a character because I do love to hate him. So I love him as a character, but yeah, as a person, he's kind of detestable.
Oh yeah,
exactly. He makes sense, like the way I think about it. It makes sense to have him in the universe in the position he's in, and to have that going on in the universe fits in very well with the story that they're probably going to tell, especially with Locke hunting the chief. There's now a little bit of a backing now with this of why that could be done. I mean, obviously he's out there for Oni, but now we have a senator backing that initiative where Oni has a justification to do it.
Yep.
Now it's not so much something shady or something unknown. We have a political justification through Hunt the Truth of why Locke is hunting Master Chief.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
A little bit more groundwork laid there for you, and we're going to find out probably more and whatever this mysterious thing is next week and something at E3 too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to know what that mysterious signal that keeps, like, you know, reared its head now and again. As I'm sure a lot of people are, like, or not just, not mysterious signal, mysterious, what did they call it? Not
disturbance? Just
anomalies? Yeah,
the anomalies out in deep space.
We haven't heard about those since, Mashaak.
Yeah, Mashaak was the last one to bring them up, but
yeah,
they keep like popping up like every few episodes, and I don't know, maybe next week might actually start addressing that. But that's next week.
Yeah. Yes, next week cannot come soon enough.
Mm-mm.
Going back to what Del Rio was saying, he starts to attest to how he knows the Spartan Force, that they are actual warriors and people that he personally knows, yada, 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 and that they would never shoot up a peace talk like the chief has done, which you just mentioned that actually that's not true.
We had our nice big tirade where I had a little self-discovery.
Yeah.
Or this knowledge discovery, but yeah, so. He wrong.
Exactly. using that to fuel his need to or want to decom the Spartan 2s completely and make that a pertinent point, because Chief basically abandoned his duty, abandoned his uniform. There's like the facts are there from Biko that he's obviously off the rails completely for the Covenant, not humans anymore, which in Ben's mind doesn't make any lick of sense whatsoever. At this point, though, there's not much other information out there other than what was the security footage that Pharaoh leaked.
Yep. And the transcript of events, which pretty much just says what they've shown.
Right. Over and over and over again. So ultimately, Del Rio is saying Spartan 2s are bad. They're faded. They're broken. They're machine junk integrated, and they're not reliable. We need to get rid of them because they're a waste. And the Spartan Forest, however, they're fine. We want to keep them around. We know that they're soldiers. They have a history, and we want to make sure that they're all good.
Yep.
They're fine. Yeah. I know them personally, and they would never do anything like abandoning humanity or
the Spartan 2s are duties. Windows XP, and the Spartan 4s are Windows Vista. Upgrade Windows Vista.
Oh,
that's
man.
A good analogy. I like that analogy. They may look shinier, but in case they're not that much so. Because you know what? The Spartan 2s can still kick Spartan 4s.
Yeah?
I'm sure if you put Palmer up against Chief would just throttle her to the ground.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
No, interesting point. If you took out any sort of experience and training, or if you took those out of the picture, according to Frank O'Connor, when equipped with Mjolnir, the average Spartan 4 would stand on equal ground with the average Spartan 2. Again, barring any training and experience. But it is that training and experience that's entirely unique that's going to let the Chief wipe the floor with Palmer.
Right. Yeah. Ingrained from the age of 6.
Yes.
Yep.
So as far as just that sheer difference, and that's all it takes, really.
Yeah.
Palmer or any of the other Spartan Force wouldn't stand a chance.
No, they really wouldn't.
Just
no, they really. So we may have already talked about this before, but where do you think Locke is? Like with Spartan stuff? Like, is Spartan 4? Like what?
He's an S4.
He's a Spartan 4, but he definitely, it seems like he might be kind of, you know, within the Spartan Force, he might be somewhat like the equivalent of a noble team, like a member of noble team, like what they were to the Spartan 3s.
Okay. Well, isn't his helmet or armor Mjolnir armor? Like, isn't that confirmed?
Yeah, it is Mjolnir. I just mean, like, you know, when they present Noble Team in Halo Reach, they're supposed to be, like, slightly better than the average Spartan 3.
Oh, right, right. Okay.
Yeah.
They're so the elite team.
If the way I see it is, like, everyone say that the Chief and Blue Team would wipe the floor with Locke, which mostly I kind of agree with. However, I don't think many people consider if he was sent after the Chief by Oni, he obviously has to have some sort of edge that they believe, or he must have something that Oni believes will give him some kind of edge against Master Chief and Blue Team.
Well,
so
yeah, you've seen the GameStop trailer, right?
Yeah, I've seen the GameStop. Yeah, but again, that's a lot of what you're seeing is what is the capability of. What I've personally come to call like the Mark II Gen 4.
Or right.
Gen 2 Mark II, I'm sorry. Which is like, you know, so if, you know, if the Chief and Blue Team had that stuff, they could be doing all that Montiome style stuff. Right. But, so,
RIP.
But even that aside, yeah, that was some pretty badass stuff. But I feel like Locke's got to have something. Maybe he's not 100% up to par with the Master Chief. I doubt he is because 343 are a bunch of fanboys at heart, so Chief is still going to be the best. He's always going to turn out to be on top. I guarantee that. but he's got to have some kind of edge if he's being sent after the Master Chief and Blue Team, the most infamous Spartans in the galaxy.
I didn't see it from Nightfall, so.
barring the utter disaster that was Nightfall.
Yeah. Other than that, though, the possibility is there. Sure, why not? All right, moving on from the wonderful Del Rio speech Unless anyone else has anything to add to that before we move on. Any last hatred you need to vent?
No, let's get that.
Nothing that you don't have to bleep.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
To be here for like an extra 4 hours, then sure, but let's, I don't think we need to push that.
No, we really don't.
Fair enough. So after this little speech, or shortly thereafter or something, Ben was not paying attention whatsoever, and his tripwire got tripped, and like he's all freaking out because he didn't even hear the person coming. He was so focused on this speech that was going on, and he didn't have much time to react. And in the hallway, he heard someone grunting, like tripping over stuff, and it sounds familiar to him, and he calls out to Ray, and it turns out that Ray Kurzig, the one guy that keeps on popping up with some pretty handy information, got there a day early. He was the contact that Ben was waiting for. And he managed to trip Ben's tripwire, which was some fishing wire and canteens and what else he just had.
He MacGyvered that stuff.
Yeah,
like, exactly. What did he say? Like dental floss or something like that? Or like,
yeah, Ray thought
a fishing line and some
fishing
junk.
Line or something.
Hey, you got to improvise when you're
trying
to hide out.
Yeah.
It was something that works, and he didn't. Well, it didn't really give Ben much time because he wasn't paying attention, but at least it was Ray, and he knew who Ray was. If that was not the case, well, Ben could very well not be part of the story anymore. So Ray comes to give him some truth about Biko. We actually get to hear some interesting facts about Biko that maybe Chief isn't as guilty as everyone is blaming him to be. And turns out that he's completely innocent. Based on some stuff that he dug out, thanks to some of the stuff that Mashok displayed on hacking stuff, Ray's been putting that to wonderful use and managed to find a communication that the Sangheili had sent to the UEG the day after the incident that got buried deep, deep within UEG servers.
Or the day after the leak, so.
Right. Right, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Correct.
And the incident was, yeah, the incident was a month before, just for timeline clarification.
I didn't know that, so that was neat to thank you.
Yeah. There you go, yeah.
Based on that info, we have a recording from the Sangheili saying that they didn't kill Sekibo, and neither did the demon, aka Chief. So they're not responsible.
I still love the fact that they still refer to him as the demon.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that. Like, they're not his enemy anymore. Well, technically.
Well, you get into a habit, it's gonna stick.
It's almost like a sense of respect now, though.
Yeah, it really. As the Arbiter said in the Halo 2 anniversary opening, it's like, it was an insult, but one with a modicum of respect. And now you could argue that it's kind of taken that next evolution where it's this nickname that's kind of, we respect you now because of all this, how badass you are.
Right, yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah. I think, though, from like just a real-world standpoint, it just kind of, that's kind of, again, 343 are Halo fanboys. I'm not holding that against them. But that's really where that comes from. It's like this.
Right.
It's just so it's just such an iconic name. So.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things about the recording that that Ray found on the UG servers led to just what the state of Biko was. And apparently, even though the UNSC and ONI and UEG had cut off certain parts of the Under Colonies, turns out that Biko was completely cut off from everyone else. And what was thought to be a peaceful planet was actually very much at unrest. And people were not happy at all. Turns out the feed that Ben had been monitoring for Biko was an old loop. And everything from the illusions that Biko was a peaceful place was not so in the slightest. And they had garnered help from UEG trying to get aid from them, and they had just completely shut them down with the whole talks with the Covenant and having this terrorist group really throwing a muck of things and wanting assistance. The UNSC, the UEG wouldn't help them out at all.
Yeah, I've heard like some people said it like it's kind of a strong parallel to some to events you know, very recent event, real world events with, you know, people ask, you know, embassies asking for upgraded security, and then, well, stuff, bad stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. Because we don't do anything about it, right?
Yep.
One of the contacts Ray had been getting his intel from, by the name of Ravi, was someone that went to these really desolate places to gather and sell intel. And that was one of the things that he managed to find out, that there were protests and riots, and Sekibo was actually in the process of clearing elites of wrongdoings for, since like the war is over and everything's hunky dory.
Or it wouldn't have been Sekibo, it would have been his estate or his people, that he said, because the contact went there after, like immediately after the event, before everything got locked, the whole planet got locked down essentially. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
right.
So yeah, it's like is Sekibo's people like trying to get the truth out and clear the Sangheili, and presume, right. I think they said the chief too, but I don't recall.
There was something in there, and I've only had the chance to listen to this twice, so my notes aren't quite as accurate, but there was something in there where Sekibo was said that there was no help coming from the UEG, but he still went through with the peace talks.
Yeah.
To try to clear it. To clear the elite.
Oh, people. Yeah. There was some peace talks with the elite. The elites, the context not exactly known, but he had to go through with it despite these seemingly legit threats that they were, that mm-hmm. his people were hearing about.
Right.
Okay. I missed up my timeline there when you were talking, so apologies.
Not a problem. Hey, I'm not as well prepared, so I don't blame you for not being as well prepared.
No, yeah, so it's like, yeah.
But one of the things too is with those threats, it was something that the Biko government had been trying to chalk up to the UEG as well, wanting this help. And a gag order came down from UEG saying, don't say anything about this whatsoever, which made it look like Biko was peaceful on the outside, but when they had been completely cut off and nothing was getting out, that was when you couldn't really guarantee that the riots would not go away. And I mean, Sekibo was trying to make the best of the situation because he went on with the peace talks anyways, but...
Well, no, there weren't really riots. There was just this, like, horrible tension in that general riots. Area. Well, the riots came after afterwards. Yeah, so the riots, it's like essentially, you know, there were these peace talks planned. Sekibo and them found, you know, that there might be some attack or something. There are these extremists kind of going,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing their extremist thing. So we're worried. He went to the UEG to say, hey, can you give us some help with this, some added security? And not only do they brush him off, they brush him off with an automated message.
Yep.
I said in my own review of it, it's like giving the middle finger to somebody with a gun to their head, more or less. Oh, you can, come on, it's just a gun to your head. You can get rid of it.
No, not really.
Yeah, exactly.
Not and the bullet comes like, out of know, it.
And then essentially this organization, Sapient Sunrise, had infiltrated Sekibo's security. And so that's what the chief was all doing there. And then, you know, once everything went down there, that's when the riots broke out and the gag order came down, because the UEG was going to look like really bad if it turned out, oh, God, we mm-hmm. ignored this threat.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
But following up on what you just said, Sapient Sunrise, which you guys have may have seen on Twitter recently,
mm-hmm.
has been something that's been going on.
Very pleasant surprise.
Still don't know if that's official or not.
It's official. I can guarantee you it's official.
Okay. Because I tried asking Bravo or Grimm, and neither of them got back to me on whether or not it was official. It seems very official.
It is 100% official. I promise.
Gotcha. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say. I haven't quite clarified. Some people were reached out to, and, you know... So that's why he had like five different, what was it? It was Green Skull, me, Halo Follower, I believe Chief Canuck, And there was one other person I cannot, and I'm sorry if they ever see this, I cannot remember who it was on Twitter.
You're talking to the guy right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah. It's like, you know, okay.
They sent us an image.
Right. There you go. So yeah. So you should know it's legit. I don't know. Maybe they contacted you guys differently than they did me, but.
I just got a Twitter DM.
Yeah, that's what I got too.
Okay. Well, maybe that's official enough. I don't know.
Who'd you get it from?
Sapient Sunrise.
Oh, okay. I got one before that.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
So that's the difference. And then I talked to Sapient Sunrise.
Gotcha. Okay.
So there you go.
Yeah. If you haven't seen that, there's a new Twitter account out there, Sapient Sunrise, which is basically the same organization, or like supposedly the same organization, that is the terrorist group behind the Sekibo assassination. Turns out there was a big plot to assassinate him, and as Toa Freak just said, they infiltrated the ranks of Sekibo and replaced all of his security, and that's where Chief came in and actually answered his call for help. And turns out everyone that Chief shot up for that particular piece in this whole Biko incident was Sapient Sunrise agents.
Yeah, I will say it wasn't exactly clear to me. I wasn't sure if they had actually like replaced the security or if the security happened to be sympathizers. Because I think that could have gone. I don't think they really clarified one way or another with how that went, but I think it could go either way.
So the bodyguard, like his immediate bodyguard, like, that's, we know, was a replacement. Like,
okay, I wasn't sure. Maybe I guess I just heard that. I misheard that then. Okay, I'll take your word for it.
or at least based on what Ray said and what I remember him saying, the security guard for Sekibo, his personal bodyguard, was replaced, infiltrated, or like not replaced, but he was probably like part of Sapient Sunrise for a while.
That's what I kind of figured when they said that the personal bodyguard had been Sapient Sunrise. Is like he must have been a sympathizer and agreed to go along with it, because you'd think that if you have a personal bodyguard, you'd know if somebody swapped him out. Unless, of course, it could have been something long in the making.
Probably long in the making is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, 9 people that Chief killed that day were Sapient Sunrise.
Right.
Because he killed a total of 19, but none of the 19 people were innocent people.
Correct. Yeah. Everyone that Chief was accused of being shot up was, in fact, associated or could be associated to Sapient Sunrise. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and but only 9 of them were ever were at least at the point of this episode confirmed associates of Sapient Sunrise.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
it makes me wonder how he knew they weren't what information did he get that he knew that those 19 were not non-innocent people.
Oh, he was just lucky.
Mm.
No, I'm kidding. I couldn't resist
it would be interesting to find out who's feeding Chief the information.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, if you have a call for help like that, Chief's resourceful. He's going to find that info out.
Yeah, but you still have to wonder, like, what source did the Chief have that Sekibo's, you know, the embassy didn't have?
True, but there's also, remember what Mendez said, Chief was able to take a highly complex situation and make an immediate decision on it. So there you go. Chief in action.
I could believe, like, given he's had extensive history with action against insurrectionists, and I could probably believe that he would be able to tell based on perhaps body language or something, you know, who is the real threat.
Mm-hmm. I could agree. The funny thing about the assassination or Chief's interruption for that assassination attempt was, I like the part where they talk about his entry into Biko, how
his
ship was registered as a fireball by air traffic control because he made a beeline straight for the embassy.
Yeah.
You mean, talk about coming in guns blazing.
Coming in hot, guns blazing.
Yeah, he was definitely coming in hot.
Drop it like it's hot.
Exactly. Chief managed to save everybody, except eventually Sekibo got taken out. So despite everything that Chief had done to tried to save the peace talks. It framed him instead, which kind of makes you wonder, going back to what Del Rio said about how Chief had killed 19 people and that 19 families are now mourning over the loss of their loved ones. Does that mean that he's working for Sapient Sunrise? Inadvertently?
I doubt it. I think it's like, the gag order. That, so nobody outside, certain people on Biko are all that familiar with what went on there. So it's very possible Oni kept a lot of these UEG senators in the dark. It could be that higher up on the UEG, food chain are keeping senators like Del Rio, especially because Del Rio is a freshman senator. I think anyone familiar enough with politics knows, like, if you're a freshman senator, you're gonna know like jack and squat compared to most of the other senators.
Exactly.
He could be entirely genuine.
I believe he's taking advantage of the situation, to be perfectly honest.
Oh yeah, I think he is. Oh, but I mean, his knowledge is entire. The knowledge that he speaks is entirely. Yeah, that's what I meant. Like,
gotcha.
He's not technically lying about any of the information he's feeding people. He doesn't have any sort of other knowledge that would disprove what he's saying, I guess. Even though it is out there, I'm really butchering what I'm trying to say.
I get what you mean. Okay. Basically saying he's making a judgment call and speaking about what he knows, and he may not know the whole truth of what happened.
Yes, there you go. Yes, that's exactly it.
There you go.
Thank you.
We'll get it across somehow.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
Somebody will eventually decrypt my words.
Uh-huh.
even if I can't.
Right. Turns out, with the whole Sapient Sunrise, there's actually a second video that shows, or that corroborates the Chiefs and the Elite's stories, to where they were, in fact, innocent. But that video is out there, and it's not something that Ray had, and there's also other reports out there that Ray's source, Robbie, couldn't get a hold of because of the gag order. The massive gag order that came down from the UEG, that came straight from Earth. So while there's information out there, and while all this is said and good, this isn't exactly something that Ben could formulate together to fully prove Chief's innocence.
Not at least not yet. Yep.
At this point, yes. Although,
yeah. I can't tell what we'll find
in the next episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, next episode, he'll be heading to Bliss, presumably, unless something delays him until episode 12, which hopefully it doesn't. Maybe Bliss is going to have that, whatever's there is going to have that second video, or at least something like that. I'm jumping ahead to the end of the episode.
We've been jumping around for the whole thing, so it's not...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for the most part, if you think about how everything is coming together, there's going to be some other big revelation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if this is going to be something else that Ben is going to pursue, trying to clear Chief's name still, or if this is going to be something else that drives more towards the anomalies that are happening out in deep space and what those are related to, but it's up in the air right now. I honestly don't know where this is going.
I don't think anyone does at this point. I think, especially once Biko entered the picture, I think we were all kind of like, lost, but in a good way where it's like, I don't know what's happening, but that's because the story is just that damn good.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah. It's not like actual Lost.
Uh-huh.
Where nobody knows what the hell is going on.
And that's one of the great things about this too, because it does keep you on the edge of your seat. It does want to make you come back week for week for more. And
oh yeah.
I'll be the first to admit, when the last episode comes out, I'm gonna be listening to this thing from start to finish in one sitting.
Oh, I will commend you for that sort of commitment. I don't know if I'd have the time to do that, but I would love to try.
I just think
you guys don't do that already.
Eventually, I probably will, but it's just finding the right time for that.
Yeah,
I think it'd be cool though to actually get the full story from front to end.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. As I said, it's just a time matter for me personally, but
right.
That would be. I'm trying to think now, how long would that... That's got to be something like... It's almost 20 minutes an episode. You're looking at maybe 4 hours... Almost 4 hours of continual content depending on how long these last two episodes are.
I've got a 5-hour plane trip to LA.
Well, there you go. You are you are very much I don't know, something.
He's going to have plenty of spare time.
Yes, there you go.
There you go. It'll be interesting. It'll be I think it'd be cool. Anyways.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Yeah. After hearing about all of this Sapient Sunrise business and all the assassination attempts on this peace talk and what the actual truth is, Ray said he came to ask a favor also, not just to give him all the information, which is good and all, but there's a favor that he asked, and it was along the lines of his family's being out there. He hasn't been able to contact them, obviously, because of the cutoff from the other colonies. And Ray asks Ben to talk to Petra to see if he can find anything, or she can find anything about his parents, if they're okay, and all that stuff. And in Ben's head, he's like, if I couldn't even keep Katrina, Mashak, or Ellie safe, what makes you think I'm going to be able to figure out if your parents are safe?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, look at what I've done. Look at what I've started.
He's caused chaos from a single leak. Well, several leaks. Like that, I don't... The thing is, it's like, I wonder why she's depending on him to find out if her parents are okay. Or, yeah.
Yeah, why he's depending on
him. Yeah, he, not she.
Yeah.
It just makes me wonder why. It's like...
Well, Ben's got all these contacts out there, and then, of course, Petra might have some, too. Being a reporter, you never know what kind of information she might be privy to that others are not.
It's true.
So
definitely true.
Yeah. Ray also might not have her direct contact either.
Yeah, possibly. But I mean, you could always you could always figure like at best she might be able to like think, or you might be able to think maybe if Ray gives Ben their whatever colony they're on, she could at least look up what if that colony is gone to crap or not.
Yeah, that's true as well. And she's still, as far as we know, in the okay with Oni.
Yep.
She hasn't been nicked off yet.
Makes me wonder.
As of yet.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder how long now.
Yeah, especially like, because they are recording, you know, he's recording this and putting it out there.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense to me as to why she is okay, because like, she kind of did some stuff I wouldn't necessarily call okay.
Yeah.
Like that, she did some shady stuff herself.
Cooperating with Ben is shady enough as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I could figure, at least in Petra's place, is that, like, for one, she is this well-known reporter, and she does have, at least with Tom Lasky, she's got this friend that's kind of in a high place, or at least has some good relations in the UNSC, so it might, you know, kind of like what it was like with Halsey back during the war. You know, Perangoski always wanted to kind of get her, but she never could because Halsey had friends in high places. So
right.
I could kind of figure that between being a something of a public figure, it's always said she made her name for herself by covering the Master Chief, and you know, really close friends with Tom Lasky, she might be somewhat untouchable by Oni, at least for the moment.
Hmm. Interesting. Never quite thought about it that way, but in a sense that makes some sense. Yeah.
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 Although you would think they would find a way to. I mean, it's Oni.
Well, I'm sure they would definitely try to. Of course. I was going to say too. Petra has proven that she is very capable of taking care of herself, and you know, kind of working around Oni's tricks. Like back in episode 4, when she was able, you know, she detected that those Oni sensors were listening into her and Ben's conversation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. I don't know. It might be something where they just want to keep her around still.
Yeah.
Because
she might still be available resource too. Yeah. There's like all these angles you could kind of look at.
And I mean, it could be another angle where Oni doesn't exactly blame her because it was Ben ultimately that leaked it out. I don't know. There's a lot yet to be seen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ben tries to reach out to Petra and actually gets through, believe it or not. And Petra sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, you know, she's on Earth. He's in an inner colony as far as we know. So.
Yep.
But anyway.
Well, as far as the not really wanting to talk to been ever again kind of thing. Surprised that she answered.
I guess she softened up a bit after a few weeks.
I suppose so. But the reason why she may have softened up is because she actually had some information for Ben that she had been sitting on and trying to figure out whether or not she wanted to tell Ben. And it's some very obscure information. She sent over a data package which contained coordinates and a 72-hour time window. All she knew is that it came from a very trusted source and that he should drop everything and go investigate it. Because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that would never happen again. Someone risked their lives to actually get this to happen. And there's something there that he needs to find.
Yeah, that's really convincing. Like, there's something there that you need to find. You're only going to get it once, but I'm not going to tell you what it is or what it could be.
Like, well, she doesn't even know. She was just told from this contact is, this is super important. I'm risking my life to get you this time window. You have 72 hours starting at this time. And during this time, there will be a security latch where you must get in and out. And that's it.
It really makes me wonder what it is. Like, what it could be. Like,
that's the big question.
It's maybe a person? Like, in something? Or I don't have a clue.
I'd have trouble believing it's a person out there, but... whoever was watching it isn't going to be watching it for the next 72 hours once that window opens. So, I personally think it's probably, like, you know, something Forerunner. That's the way I'm thinking, or leaning. Because Bliss was one of the places that Dr. Ellen Anders had said had potential alien ruins on it. You know, listing that among Reach and Onyx, if I recall correctly. Or no, it was Cote d'Azur and Onyx, along with Bliss. But yeah.
Okay.
I would agree with the Forerunner thing. I think that's a very strong possibility. He jokingly said data server, too, which, if there's something there that could corroborate the Chief's side of the story, too, that might work.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening that way, too.
I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see.
A few more days.
I want to know. Yep.
All I got to say about the Chief is I knew it.
Oh, that
we all knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there wasn't a doubt in my mind. I mean, like it didn't add up. Like it just didn't add up. Like why all of a sudden would he sit there and start slaughtering innocent people that he's been protecting for years? It never added up.
Especially people that he didn't really know or didn't have anything against. It doesn't really make sense to target a peace talk. If he was going on a true rampage, it would have just been any generic town.
I guess the guilty party rung, but I figure there was. Originally, I figured it was like Oni or the NCA was going to try and kill somebody at the conference and then blame it on the other party. I knew that whatever the Chief was doing there, we were missing a major puzzle piece. If he was killing humans, there had to be a good reason for it, such as them trying to kill, you know, Sangheili delegates and possibly, maybe probably unintentionally, but possibly start another Covenant war.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good.
No, that wouldn't be good.
No, didn't you see the propaganda? We won.
Yeah. Oh, that's something else that we'll probably bring up as a topic tomorrow, but the fact that the Covenant dissolved and we didn't really win is another kind of, I guess, lie that Oni is telling that, yes, we won. Because...
Well, see, I don't know if they might have spun it, but It's almost undeniably public fact that we did ally with the Sangheili at the very end of the war. So they could have spun it in some way that sounds different from what we saw in Halo 2 and Halo 3, but the fact, you know, it's definitely public knowledge that the Sangheili helped us win the war in the very end. Especially when you see, like, you know, Lord Hood invited the Arbiter and Shadow of Intent to that memorial on March 3rd in 2553.
Right, but was that a public memorial or was that just kind of like closed off or what?
I think it was military. Yeah, I think it was military only.
I think it was, but I figured, like, I don't know, to me it seems unlikely that it would have been entirely secret.
I would agree, but it's Oni and government, and who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like that. Like in addition to that, too, it's like it seems like you have these mentions, like you know, Lord Hood going to Sung Helios to Vadim Keep to sign that peace treaty with the Arbiter, and then Roland talking about in the Spartan Assault, he talked about a ceasefire of 2552. And it just seems like there has to be some sort of public knowledge that we allied with the Sung Helios, you know, at the very end. At least I would think so. I could be wrong about that, but that's always the impression I got.
That makes the most sense to me too. This whole Hunt the Truth makes you question certain things about what's considered true inside the universe.
Everything.
Yeah.
Because we know outside the universe, like what the universe truth actually is. We know that.
Yeah.
But it's the whole mind-boggling thing is what's actually believed inside the universe. And we really haven't gotten that big perspective until Hunt the Truth.
Yeah, which is one of the great things about it. Yeah. Finally get that. We got hints. Like I think, you know, bringing it back to Second Sunrise over New Mombasa, where Ben Giraud first appeared, not named, we got they were talking about how humans actually thought that the Covenant War was caused by the UNSC and that we just needed to sit down and talk with them. Or you had that guy in Sadie's story who was like, you know, I bet this invasion's just a big misunderstanding. Hey, guys, we want to surrender. Surrender to the Wraith Mortar. Yeah. It's like it's really interesting to see what's how the common person views all these events.
Oh yeah, very fascinating. And hopefully, I don't know when exactly we're doing this, but Bio has a friend, and we're going to get him on to talk about because he hasn't read the books, and this is all something new in terms of perspective. So
that would be really cool to hear. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to do that next week or when exactly we're planning that, but it would be something that seeing how someone who hasn't really read the books or is that in tune with the lore, see what they think about Hunt the Truth and how it plays into what we actually know of the universe and basically discovering that truth along with Ben.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be very interesting.
It's, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, because I talk with him on a regular basis and like when he listens to it at work because like what he'll do is he'll replay the last three episodes and then like catch up like on the last three episodes and then listen to the next one. And it's interesting to hear because he asks questions about certain things and if he read the books, he would understand it. So it's really cool to see that different like side of people not knowing stuff. It's neat.
Yep.
I can only imagine.
That'll be something for, I think everyone will definitely want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Wrapping up on this episode, Petra says that he needs to grab everything he can for this trip. Go grab your piggy bank and head on off planet. There's a freighter waiting for you. So, Ben,
what does he have left, money-wise?
They speak in cash.
Exactly. So, he has a little emergency fund, a little rain fund that he said he kept for backup purposes. So, he leaves his secret base of operations that he's been at, going back to his place, and he said it's been, since the whole thing began, one of the times that he's actually felt normal for a change. But as he walks up to his old apartment complex, there's tape and there's a sign that says this place has been condemned and no longer safe to be habitated. And he goes in, his key card still works, and while I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, Oni monitoring, Oni monitoring, Oni monitoring. It's a trap. Don't go inside.
Oh, yeah. It's like a nuclear bomb going to go off or something.
Yeah.
But thankfully, it was not that case. Everything in the apartment complex, though, every door was open and all the furniture was draped in plastic sheets. Everything. Every room, every piece of furniture, every door open to every apartment was open. Every door was open, except for his. And you could tell that the dent was still there from when Petra barged in. And when he opened his door, everything was gone. Yeah, nothing was left.
And we don't just mean the furniture.
Like, no, we everything.
Mean the
everything.
Seats, the floor, the walls, the windows,
the plumbing,
the floorboards.
The plumbing.
That was one thing that didn't make any sense to me. He's like, they took everything, even the plumbing. It's like, was the Grinch there? Like, was he, like, did someone have, like, something, you like, mean against one. Them?
Mr. O.
Basically, what they were doing was stripping out any possible hiding spot he would have in that apartment.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was...
or whatever.
It's just crazy that they would gut something like that much. Like, that's just crazy. Like, it just makes you wonder, like, what were they thinking that they thought he had? Like, what would you think that he was hiding?
I can tell you that the
ring... could also be looked at as a message.
True.
Like you said, everything that he knew, everything that was that ever proved that he was there was gone. So
was erased.
Erased. There you go.
You know, it's I still don't know that Ben's going to make it to the end of this.
Yeah. I think he will though. I think we're going to see a tie-in. Somehow
I think he's going to
Halo 5, I mean he's come this far and like he's pretty much made it through everything and like if anybody
but he really hasn't done anything stupid yet.
Yes, he has.
No, I mean as far as, you know, addressing the senators, you know, that kind of like puts this great big red bullseye on your chest. You know, up till now he's done stuff that Oni could react to, but not something that's high on the priority list.
Yeah.
With that conversation, Ben just became Oni's number one thought.
Besides the chief.
Yeah.
He went to the head of the list.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was rock bottom. Now he's like at top two.
You know, it's... I just...
Hey, that's something to say.
I got a feeling, and I hope I'm wrong. You know, I hope I'm wrong because I'd really like to see the character hang around because Lord knows the franchise is pretty good for killing off the good characters. Johnson. It's just, you know, it's, I don't mind if they kill off characters if they do it in a good way, but they've killed so many of them and some of them are not that great.
Black team.
You know, it's... I can't wait till Sunday. I want to know more. I want to know more!
Yes. But unfortunately, we have come to the end of this episode, and we will have to wait until next week. Sadly, that's the case.
I think this was the shortest episode of them all, honestly.
No, it was 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
The shortest will always be the primer, though, because that's, what, like 5 minutes at best?
Yeah, I'm thinking like actual episodes. I think the first one was 13 or so minutes, something like that. The actual first one, not the primer.
Yeah.
It was short.
Yeah, they've been, ever since, after the first episode, I think they've been kind of floating between 15 and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, I mean, it's a good length. You know, it's...
Yeah.
You get a lot of detail. You really get involved in the story. Very quickly, you know, you're chomping at the bit from the last one, but you know, it's, I like the story length.
Yeah.
It seems to fit.
It's perfect.
And I think you know, when I go to listen to them again, I've got to, after they're all said and done, I'm going to, load them up and put them on my cell phone so I can listen to them. Nice. But, they'll be nice for a drive into work.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
That's usually what I do to prepare is I listen to it on the way back from work and then I jot down notes, but just didn't have time today with everything that I had going on, other plans. But
I hope you're not writing and driving.
No. No, I'm not.
Good.
No. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in live on Twitch. We will be giving out the $10 code here in just a minute. Toa Freak, thank you very much for coming on again, and we will look forward to seeing you again next week.
And I look forward to discussing whatever the hell happens.
I know, right? Who knows? The sky's the limit right now. This is awesome stuff. So for everyone tuning in via podcast download, thank you for taking the time to subscribe and listen to us. You can check us out on Twitch on Wednesday nights for, I guess, two more weeks, or at least one more week, we will be covering the Hunt the Truth up until E3, and that'll be great. So that will be Wednesday next week at 8:30, and then we may do that the Sunday right after it gets posted. I'm not sure. We'll let you know on what our plans are for that. But stay tuned, and we'll be broadcasting live on Twitch for those, so make sure you tune into those. Make sure you also check out our regular show, which is on Thursdays, also at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We will probably talk a little bit more about Hunt the Truth tomorrow with some of the implications that this podcast actually brought up, like what Pharaoh's purpose behind the leaks might be and what Del Rio's intentions are, what the Sangheili intentions are behind the peace treaty, and we'll dive a little bit more into those aspects tomorrow. So if you're listening to us live, then hopefully you can drop by tomorrow. If you're listening to us download, the podcast has already happened live and you'll download it when the next one comes out. So not to fret, it'll be out anyways. And then you can also check out our game nights on Fridays. That happens at 8:30 p.m. also, Eastern Time on Fridays, hosted by the wonderful Godzilla T on the Master Chief Collection. Make sure you check that out. And please make sure you check out Toa Freak, his YouTube channel, because he's done a wonderful job doing analysis videos on all the Hunt the Truth stuff, all the Cannon Fodder articles that have come out. So please go over and hit him up at youtube.com/HaloCannon and follow him there and subscribe to him, do all that fancy stuff. And check out our podcast network. We are part of thepodcast.com. That is PODKAST. And we are sister shows with other shows like Guardian Radio, Critzcast, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. So if you're looking for some other podcasts to get into, those are some great additions to fill your ear holes with your drive to work or with your day-to-day grind, whatever you feel the need to listen to other gaming podcasts. Those are some good ones I would go listen to. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. Again, we will be back here very soon. And until then, keep on fragging Del Rio.
Now.